I'm John Wilson. Welcome to Owned and Operated. Twice a week, we talk about home service businesses. And if you're a home service entrepreneur, then this is going to be the show for you. We talk about our own business in residential plumbing, HVAC, and electric. And we also talk about business models that we just find interesting. Let's get into it. If you like what we talk about on our social media, on Twitter, on this podcast, then you should be signed up for our newsletter. Go to ownedandoperated.com, where every Friday we break down our business, we break down insights, things we're learning, things we're working on, and it's good stuff. Check it out, ownedandoperated.com. All right, today on Owned and Operated, Jack brought some user-submitted questions. If you have a question that you want to ask Jack and I, DM it. We would love to answer it on air. This was fun. So we had two questions from listeners that we deep dove into. Check it out. Welcome back to Owned and Operated, Jack.
What's going on, John?
Dude, I'm about to kick it up in Denver, so that is what's going on. I'm about to go ski the heck out of Breck.
I think I'm one of the only people in Tennessee, so I have the pegboard on my wall in my garage.
Yeah.
And I have a wall of skis. That's the only thing I don't like about Tennessee. I love Tennessee. Tennessee is an amazing
state.
There's
just like nothing to ski.
There's nothing to ski. I have to go way up East Coast, like Vermont, or fly back out West.
Well, you got some snowshoe. How close is like snowshoe to you? West Virginia.
I don't know. West Virginia is generally, I'm sure I could fly there. It's like maybe 3-4 hours. To be honest, I don't know. Is snowshoe good?
No, but it's like small Appalachia.
Yeah. See, that's my problem though. I was spoiled. My wife and I met at like Lake Tahoe skiing. And so that's what we used to do is ski. Epic pass, 10 days, hit all the mountain resort.
I don't know why you're not going out to Denver with me.
Because of negative temperatures here in Nashville.
Yeah, I do feel weird. I do feel weird leaving in game time. I'm going to be still a very active participant from the lift.
You're like the team owner sitting there from your box seats at game time. You don't have to be at the game. You can still be at the game. I'm like quarterback right now. If I'm not at the game, team's not playing.
Yeah, I am fortunate that I'm able to leave during game time.
You earned it, though, right? That's what happens. But yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you hope. You hope I earned it. Well, yeah, sick, dude. All right, so you've got the episode concept for today.
Yeah, so we're hitting the episode a little bit differently today. We get Q&A a lot from different people, right? We're on Twitter. We have this platform. And so I had two different people reach out to me really recently. They asked me a question. I answered the question. I said whatever the answer was. But I thought it would be a cool concept to hear your answer because I think I know what you would say. And I gave people that merged answer, but I am genuinely curious if that's what you would have said. So I'm not going to give away the names on these, obviously. So the first Q&A, I will ask you the question, you answer, and then I'll tell you what I said to him or her. So the first question is this person owns an HVAC company. They do HVAC and radiant heat flooring, an interesting mix. They are currently booked out 3 to 4 weeks on everything. And the problem, the question was, how do they increase sales with that situation? So they have enough sales. They have enough.
Yeah.
But their lead time, they're booked out too far. What's the answer? Yeah.
Is it new construction?
The person says it's not, but I'm confused at how radiant floor work is installs is not kind of at least remodel. They get plenty of opportunities for change outs, but I think the problem is they're struggling to get those change outs. See, I'm giving you the answer. They would like more change outs. They have the opportunities. I don't think they close on enough opportunities in that area.
Okay. What's the business size?
$2 million.
A year.
Yeah.
Okay. There's like two things at work here. It's one thing at work. There's an answer.
There's an answer I gave. Just one.
Okay, there's an answer, and like it impacts everything, and that's price. So is that the answer you gave?
No.
Okay, I'll explain myself.
Awesome. Go for it.
Okay, so here's the deal. In order to maximize your business, being booked out is bad. Last episode, Jack and I talked about, hey, it's 0 degrees next week. It's negatives. Imagine if we were booked out and we weren't able to serve our customers next week. Because we were booked out on these projects. So being booked out gives businesses comfort, usually.
Security, yeah.
Yeah, it gives them security. I know that I am busy, probably not maximizing. And people do that and they like it. They like this idea that they know that they're set for the next month, so they don't have to think about it. That's usually like exactly what I hear is, I don't have to think about it. So they don't have to get better at marketing. They don't have to get better at anything that involves thinking. They just get to go execute.
That's exactly what he said, by the way.
It literally, hundreds of people I've talked to, everyone says the same 3-4 words. I don't have to think about it. Price is the answer.
So your answer is increase price.
So price is a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? And it should move and fluctuate according to your available capacity. In an ideal scenario, you have same day or next day availability to install across the board. And the question that I'm going to get when I say that to someone who's booked out a month is, great, how do I get there? You don't get there by speeding it up. You get there by selling less jobs, which people don't like, but you sell those jobs for more. If your close rate's 100%, your price is too low. If you're booked out for a month, your price is too low. People are willing to wait a month for you to come and solve their problem instead of any common sense person in the world who would want it done soon. Like, we're in the emergency-driven business here. Someone's waiting a month for you. You're not charging enough money. This is a price question.
So that's interesting. So we came to the same conclusion, right? I have the same theory, same conclusion. The difference is what I said is, I said, you don't have enough installers. So if you had more installers,
it could be that too,
working on the thing that opens you up to now being able to sell next days or 2 days or 1 week away, which would then give you more jobs. And then the answer was, but then how, what about my security? Like, the guy's feeling like, hey, I have a month that's all booked up.
Yeah.
And I said, guess what? You need to implement the 3-day call board, forcing yourself to drive and own the traffic to your business, yeah, which will then also, yeah, skyrocket growth. So that was my answer, was you don't have enough people doing whatever that's taking so long. If it's installation, yeah, work, more installers. If it's high-end specialty, yeah, service work, more high-end specialty, yeah, service techs who can handle that, so that your service portion can speed up and then the whole process can, mm-hmm, collapse on itself. So maybe a week out.
Also price. If they're literally waiting a month, you are just too cheap.
Yeah.
Like, you're the discount carrier.
The only reason I don't think I'm with price is, I thought that in a world, we don't do radiant floors. I don't know if you guys do radiant floors. In a world where, like, if you were only doing radiant floors and you were the radiant floor guys, if you guys are the only ones in town doing radiant floors, get more people. Don't, like, if the price is right. The other thing is, you raise prices and people are just, I'm just not going to do radiant floors. They're not necessary. I don't know. Both? A mix,
yeah,
of both.
I don't have much to say on, like, project remodel type work, but I was tying into the changeouts. Like, what I think most people should do if they want to increase sales is not do project remodel type work. So this is back to basically price, but if we think about, like, a day, how much does install crew get you a day?
Get, like, generate nothing.
Revenue. Yeah. No. Like, how much revenue do they complete for you a day?
Oh, like completion, not sold revenue. My install crews, based on our salesperson, is probably doing maybe like 40 to 60 a week.
Okay. Let's say $9,000 a day. Okay. So $9,000 a day. How long does a radiant floor job take? Like, a month? 2 weeks? A week?
Probably a week. I guess you got to pour and lay and do all the...
All right. So let's say a week. So how many of those can you sell for $40,000? I really don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah.
That's the math that, yeah, you have to be mathing, is it's opportunity cost. What we found in remodels and new work is, like, hey, I want to increase sales. Great. You have to kill. Like, I killed a $3-4 million a year P&L last year, which is a lot for the size of our business, but it was because I was driving $4,000 of revenue a week per tech out of that business. It's like, we should be driving $4,000 of revenue a day per tech. So we were off by 80%. And this is back to price, but, like, what can you sell a day for in plumbing or HVAC or electric? And if you're doing week-long projects or 2-week-long projects, you have to price it at the same price that you would sell an HVAC swap out day for, because that's the choice you're making. You're choosing to run this big project that you will likely get significantly less per day revenue on a per employee basis than just a swap out. And if that's the case, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
So if you want to increase your revenue, stop doing low revenue shit.
Fair enough.
And then you pivot that out by increasing your price on the things you do want. So that way you don't create a huge backlog.
Yeah.
And then if you have not enough of a backlog, then you reduce your price. Yeah, price should be
a bit of a moving target. Just out of curiosity, I know there's different people. They do like dollar plus one, right? And the board's empty to your normal margin you want to hit. What's your feeling on like dollar plus one?
Yeah, so this is something that we're being challenged to do right now. I know that it's probably the right decision. So what he's basically saying is, how low are you willing to go if you have nothing on the schedule? The answer is somewhat low, break even probably, because the reality is a no profit day is better than a no revenue day. You keep your team going, you hit break even. Maybe break even is 35% gross margin, and you are still able to contribute to your overhead.
So when we say dollar plus one, you refer to it as all overhead included plus $1, correct?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So wherever your margin is at the end of the day, which ours, I think, is somewhere around like 31 or 32, that's our salesperson's bottom dollar. We don't drop below that. We stay at that 32, and only if the schedule is dead. Otherwise, we try to stay around 40 and then up to 60 when it's absolutely slammed.
Yeah, we feel the same way. We're trying to figure out a way to process that, like make it a process, because there's just so many people involved. Don't have a good answer for it, but a sitting install crew is much worse than a break-even install crew. So that's something that we're really working on getting nailed down right now.
I think that's a good answer, too. I'm glad we arrived at the same way. Same point in different ways. And I don't think either of those is the correct answer without the other one. Awesome. I love that.
If you're a home service entrepreneur that's just starting out or is early on in the journey and you haven't broken the $5 million revenue mark, we've got an event for you. This spring in Cleveland, March 19th to the 21st, we're hosting an event at my office. It's going to be awesome. Honestly, some of the most impactful visits of my career have been visits to companies that were larger than we were, that we could take lessons from and see how they're doing stuff. Like, get a behind the scenes look. How are they structuring warehouse? How are they thinking about call center? Can I talk to their managers? Can I understand what their KPIs are? We're going to dive into all that stuff. We are here to help people get above $5 million in revenue. So join us in Akron, Ohio, March 19th to the 21st for a Breaking $5 million event. Love to see you there. Details are ownedandoperated.com.
You brought up actually a great segue into my next question. So question number two was, someone came to me with a business that they wanted some advice on. You actually might know this person because I said that you talked to him for a little bit.
Did I hate the business?
You actually didn't even, you responded once and then didn't respond after that, which I'm guessing is because you hated the business.
That could be, or whoever this is that's listening, one, I apologize. Two, I do get a lot of DMs, and it is very complicated. Like, I barely respond to my emails to people that I have to respond to, let alone my DMs.
Yeah, I'm pretty terrible at it, too.
Yeah.
So this person has under contract, working on documents. I believe it was a $7 million plumbing co. 60% was told, 60% new construction, 40%.
I spoke in depth with this individual.
Yeah, 40%.
I'd like to correct the record. I responded at least 10 times to this round of thinking. I've got receipts.
Yeah, right. And then the broker then came forward and shifted. The owner then came forward and shifted and said, actually, it's really like 1/7 or 1/8 of the business is actual service and the rest is new construction. The question is, what's your feeling on valuation on something like that? So 1.5 in EBITDA, 7 in revenue, gross revenue. But it's an 80-20 or 90-10, give or take. Yeah. What would you value this business at? Because that's what the real question is. It's Plumbing Co., $7 million, 1.5 net, bad split towards construction. Yeah. Where are you at if you had to? Because I know you don't want to, but if you had to.
All right. I'll answer this question without answering this question. There is a plumbing company in Columbus, Ohio. right now. It's 100% new construction, 10% off from this company, doing $5 to $6 million of sales, so relatively close. They're asking $1.3 million, and the seller is willing to seller finance 50% of it.
So that's a note from the bank of $750,000, which at today's rate is give or take about $12,000 in debt finance per month a person has to pay, which on $8 million, or did you say $8 million? $6 million in gross.
Yeah. If you receive it. And like, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. So they're asking 25% of gross revenue. Because I think when you think about purchase price in home services, and you can call me any number of things, and please know that I don't care. Most of it is like unsophisticated, which I'm fine with. I've been called much worse, even just today. And I believe that revenue to purchase price is a valuable metric. And when I think about purchasing a business, most of it's like, is it inflated EBITDA? That's how I like can figure out if it's inflated EBITDA. Like, if it's a $3 million plumbing company and they're claiming 700,000 EBITDA or a million EBITDA, and they're like, million EBITDA, I read it was 4 times. So they're asking $4 million for a $3 million plumbing company. That's 130% of revenue. That's insanity for a $3 million plumbing company. So I usually feel pretty comfortable at 50% of annual revenue for purchase price. So that's a number that I like.
Even in construction?
No, that's for service businesses.
Okay.
For construction, like 20% starts to make sense to me.
That's exactly what I said. I said maybe I look at it like 10% of if it's net, it's 10% of revenue, and then a 2x would be 20% of revenue, which we're at the exact same point at 2x tops. But the only other thing I added to that is I would not take bank debt on this. No way, no how would me taking bank debt.
Well, that's if a bank even lends. You know, you're going to be hard pressed to find a bank to lend on construction in 2024.
Yeah. And my issue, right? I'd said rev share, get seller financing in a rev share model. That way they're sharing the risk. If it hits hard, whether it's, you know, you lose key clients, right? Because you're working with GCs who know the person, maybe 20 of them, right? You lose 2-3 of them, that's 10% right off the top, day one, just because this person left. Part two, they share in the risk. So I like rev share in those construction companies.
For perspective, I've been in this industry my whole life. I remember 2009. This is like talking about buying a home builder in 2009. To me, that's what buying a new construction company is right now. We are in the shittiest environment where most of them are coasting off of a few years of good. They know that the game is up and they're attempting to sell. That's the one in Columbus. They're attempting to sell before everything goes away, because it will go away.
Yep.
Whenever I have a real sour spot for new construction, and I always have, and I would say that I'm right, I think it's good for a couple years, and then it's bad for more. But even when it's good, it's not that good. So when we look at a deal that has new construction, any level of new construction, we underwrite the new construction side of the business to zero. We assume it is completely gone. Because it might as well be in our minds. Because if we don't kill it, then the economy will kill it. In this case, we're not talking about a $7 million a year company. We're talking about a one. And when you put it in that perspective, what makes sense for the purchase price of a $1 million plumbing company?
And so with that, on the back end, there's a kind of a second part to the question that I'm curious about. What is your belief on building a service company out of a construction company like that, right? Yeah.
So we did this 3 times now.
Mm-hmm.
And my takeaway is it takes a lot longer than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from someone that's done it 3 times and literally grew up in this industry and knows a lot about the industry. So it takes a lot longer than you think. It's not a month. It's probably more like 2 to 3 years and maybe longer if you genuinely have no idea what you're doing. And it's going to take a lot more cash than you think it's going to.
Yeah, I think someone else who's trying this told me it's essentially building a new startup on the back of your old startup. because you don't have a CRM system like ServiceTitan. Yeah. You're using some kind of project management software.
Yeah.
The texts don't transfer over. Install texts aren't service texts. And the ones that I've looked at have had terrible reviews if they try to do a little bit of service, because they don't realize that. So they have like a 3.5 stars with 50 reviews, and they're a $10 million dollar company.
And there's no cash. There's no cash to do it. The cash cycle doesn't make sense. So like in a new construction company, your overhead might be 15%. There's no overhead. You've got some project managers. You have Betty in the office. And you can run that way up to like $20 million. You don't need anything. Some PMs and an accountant. And your gross profit is very low. So let's say 20, 25, 30% is your gross profit. And on top of that, your payment terms are shit. You get paid 30, 60, 90, 120 days from whoever the GC is.
Mm-hmm. If you get paid.
If you get paid. So that's a big part of why overhead is so low, is because it literally has to be. So there's no gross margin. There's no infrastructure. There's no people. And like, it takes people to grow a service company. And the cash flow is very slow. So that's why I say it takes more cash than you think it does. You basically, $1.5 million EBITDA of new construction, assume that doesn't exist, because it might not.
Yeah.
And when you go to launch a service business on top of that, or grow a service business on top of that, the overhead from the service department is going to be like 40% when that business is used to 15. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a huge shock to the system. Like, you're going to need CSRs, you're going to need marketing, you're going to need software, you're going to need stuff that business literally cannot afford. And when you go to pay it, you're going to be waiting 90 days to get paid. So like, you're not going to have the cash there to do it.
It almost has to be self-sustaining right out the gate.
It does. Yeah, it's tough. It is a tough gig. So go into it with a lot of cash.
Let me ask you one question. Is there any benefit, right? A $10 million, just round numbers, a $10 million construction plumbing company, all wrap trucks in a medium-sized town, does have a decent brand though, which it is helpful that rather than starting something new, I will give it that. That's the only reason I've been enticed previously, is you're starting off with a solid city known brand name, right? And the minute that they start offering the service of individual services and get really acquainted to that, I think that helps more so than buying, I mean, the alternative, but still super difficult.
I think it helps with lead flow. Does it help with the lead flow you want? I don't know. It might be like GC's friends or the GC's house. That's what we see a lot, is like, yeah, we get calls, but like the calls are like your builder's house.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, right, the minute that you turn on, you need 7 touches. They need to see you 7 times before they go with your company or whatever crazy stuff that is. Now you turn on PPC, they've seen your truck in the town.
Yeah.
10 times, 15 times. It's the friend of the friend, and they didn't go with Benjamin Plumber or whatever this time.
I think it could give a little bit of a boost. The thing I would just be the most cautious about is EBITDA is not cash flow.
I would even say cash flow is not really cash flow.
Yeah, like you can't expect to build a service company off a construction company easily. It's going to take years and it's going to be a slog, and you're going to need more cash than you think.
That's
like,
fair.
You just are. But yeah, it's possible. Like, we're wrapping it up right now. We're 2 years and a month into our electric transition, and it's not done. Like, we're close, but man, it was tough.
Could you have done it without the other cash flow from your other businesses feeding into?
No, it would have bankrupted us, 100%.
Nice idea. Very difficult. 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10. 8 out of 10.
Like, potentially 10 out of 10. And this was my third one in an industry that I very literally grew up in.
Yeah.
I don't know how people who don't know anything about this, maybe they will come in and do it and be smarter than I am. Maybe. But I do struggle to believe.
Yeah. We have a mutual friend that's doing it in HVAC and it's seeming to work, but he said it's
2.5 years of intense pain.
Intense pain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Accurate. Make sure if you're...
Avoid.
Avoid and or buy extremely right. Do not go into it paying these crazy multiples, 4x, 5x on a million EBITDA. Doesn't apply here. Really doesn't. 1x.
Yeah. You know, 5, even 3 times, 3, 4 times only applies to 100% service organizations. Service or replacement. There, you are buying a construction company, which, like, throughout history, usually trades for assets. When I've watched, like, new construction plumbing companies go for sale, they literally just auction because there is no value. There's nothing to buy. Like, what do you buy? Jimmy from the builder's, you know, phone number, and he's going to be fired in a month? Like, there's nothing there. And everyone say it's relationship, but it's not.
Yeah.
Builder, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, nothing to buy. Usually we see auctions. So if you want to go buy a plumbing company, just go to an auction. You can get it for $100. Yeah.
Talking new construction's great with you and John.
I just, like, have such an opinion.
Yeah. You said it on the last episode, too, on the weather, about how just killing the new construction side, that 3 to 4 million of your business, was a hard thing to do, but it was the right choice. And I think that should speak volumes to people that are potentially buying construction companies. There's other people out there literally killing a $4 million P&L.
Yeah. In order to run a good business.
In order to run a good service business. Anywho. Sweet.
So this
we got
good.
Some answers. Good Q&A.
Got some answers. Good Q&A.
I kind of like this segment. I think we'll continue if you guys do have questions.
Yeah. If you got user submitted stuff, let's do it.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. Thanks for tuning in to Owned and Operated. Make sure you check out ownedandoperated.com. Sign up for the newsletter and check out our event in March, the Breaking 5 Million Workshop. Tweet.
Thanks for tuning in to Owned and Operated, the podcast for home service entrepreneurs. If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit the like button and subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover, feel free to reach out. You can find me on Twitter at Wilson Companies. I'll see you next time.